Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Welcome back, everybody. We're in for a new episode of Shell and Tell. I don't know if you guys are in the Twitterverse or not, but we've had a cool week, man. We've got a been made in the big time. We had a commitment here with Shell and Tell. All-American punter, Brendan Segovia. Really cool for him to join us. Really cool for him to let us help him out with his edit. Really appreciated his time and conversations over the week. Kind of fun keeping a secret from everybody until it was time to release the footage, time to release the commitment video there. On top of the interview that we will finish up with him, we also will bring you this week's Birdland BS segment as we've been doing every week. This week on Birdland BS, which is our parent company, covers Ravens, Terps, Orioles, 7:30 every Tuesday night. Also can see all of the backlogs, and just if you weren't available 7:30 Tuesday night on their Facebook, YouTube, all those pages. So please check them out. It's about a 2-hour show. And so we're just pulling out the Terps segment for those that are just interested in the Terps. Maybe you're a Redskins Nationals fan. You don't want to listen through the whole thing, but so we're sending you that every week. So we're going to start with that. Basically we talk, the football commitment before, our punter this week, our quarterback commitment, AJ Swan. Talk a little bit about that, what we think about that commitment, how we see the overall class of 2022 shaping up. We also talk about our 5-game win streak and how we see the next 2 games unfolding. By the time you're listening to this, we're going to know what happened Wednesday night because I'm finishing up this recording right now about 2 hours before tip-off. So you guys will know whether we're right and wrong by the time you listen. You get to laugh at us or be pretty impressed. I'm not sure which way it goes. So after you hear the Birdland BS segment, you'll check in with me one more time. Then we'll kick it off into our long interview with our All-American punter commit. And I hope you really enjoy this. Okay, guys? Let us know what we're thinking out there. Listen to us on all your top platforms, Apple Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, we're everywhere. Please rate and subscribe, review. It really helps us get out there. This has been helping get a little bit of traction this week doing these big things, but every little bit that you guys do helps too. And you'll hear in our interview, just being an adamant fan and being engaged can really help in the recruiting process. So it was a really interesting take. So I hope you guys enjoy this week's segment of Birdland BS.
All right, sticking with you, Ryan. It's Shell and Tell time, man.
Oh, my. It's my time to shine.
Right. We've been talking a lot the last couple of weeks around the football squad and some of the recruits around the 2021 and 2022 class.
Should I announce the pee breaks?
Yeah. It is now James' turn.
I'll be ready to talk when we get to the basketball portion, all right?
So last week we talked about the Terps finally landing another quarterback-ish commit last year in or last week in Preston Howard out of McDonough. He's a 2022 quarterback commit that also was labeled as an athlete. That's how Maryland labeled him as an athlete. So we thought, well, Terps are still in contention for a couple other quarterbacks out there. Maybe there's something else in the works. We found out this week there was.
Yeah, at least one more we grabbed. AJ Swan. This kid is 6'2.5" to 6'3" on his own profile.
You know, don't shorten that half an inch.
200 pounds. Top 30 pro style QB. I put a question mark on that. Top 600 player in the nation. Cherokee High School in Georgia, so it's always good to be keeping these Southern recruiting
that's
grounds.
That's great, yeah.
Number 55 player in Georgia, which is big time place.
Georgia is a factory for football players.
Yeah. You know, you hear this pro QB thing, and I was a little worried about it, and then I went and watched his tape. This kid fits the system way better. He's way more elusive than I would assume for a pro-style quarterback. He is definitely a pass first, which is, I guess, why they're classifying him that way. But He's got straight line speed, super elusive. The difference is when he's running out of the pocket, my man does not take his eyes off
downfield. He's keeping his eyes downfield.
As soon as somebody's sucked up, he's dipping it over the top. So I really liked it. I thought he was way underrated as a three-star. Strong arm. He didn't have all the crazy, you know, Mahomes-esque throwing this way ever across his body and all the stuff that, you know, we're all – these kids grew up imitating these players now. It's like everyone in the world hits three-pointers because Steph Curry decided that's all he was going to do.
Right.
So it's, you know, now we have all the Mahomes, Lamar people growing up.
Exactly.
Lots of little things impressed me. Like there was bad snaps on his highlight film. Never took his eyes off it. One hands it, keeps on the quick slant, still able to hit it. And the kid seems like he's got it all together. So I don't think he's a three-star, but don't tell anybody because we want to keep him locked up.
No, you know how I feel about star ratings. They don't mean shit. Anybody that's anybody that's actually scouted this kid has had nothing but glowing things to say. That every time that they've watched him, the kid's gotten better and better. To your point, I think Tully is kind of that same way where he's a mobile quarterback. I wouldn't call him like a scrambler, but he's mobile enough in the pocket to extend a play. But like you said, his eyes are constantly downfield. He's not that run first, put your eyes down and run the ball type quarterback. He is looking to make a play, and he's been very successful in that in his couple years in high school.
Yeah, when you say pro style quarterback,
you think of a Tom Brady.
Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, like slow as molasses, can't do anything but a 1 yard sneak, throw the ball.
Right.
So, but I mean, I guess when you talk pro style quarterback, you also have the Aaron Rodgers who's got a little bit of wheels, and you got like the Mitchell Trubisky when he decides to run.
Right.
So there are those other that would probably qualify not as dual threats of what we're looking at with Lamar and Mahomes.
Right, exactly. So this is big for the Terps, right? We had been questioning. They didn't have any other scholarship quarterbacks on this roster outside of Talia, right? Well, in the last week and a half, they've now got two for their future for 2022. Again, I believe Preston Howard might end up being a tight end, defensive end. There's a lot of things that they can do with him, but he also has the ability to play quarterback.
Yeah, this takes time. I mean, like we said, all the last regime's players left.
Right.
So that included all their high school drafted quarterbacks who take time to develop. You can only get so many transfers to come because if a guy's transferring, most of the time it's because he wants to play now. So how are you going to convince multiple people to transfer in 1 year?
Right.
So we're restocking the cabinet, getting a couple of high school guys. We still have, you know, where this is the class of 2022 is now fifth in the Big Ten and 15th in the nation, which is crazy numbers.
Right.
It's early. All these guys are pretty much three stars. But yet our average is still almost as good as last year when we had 4 4-stars and a 5-star. So our like baseline player is better is what that means. Like the low end players that we're going to have are at a higher caliber this year than in years past.
Agreed.
So then when we drop those heavy hitters that Locks likes to do on signing day, take us to a whole new level.
And just because we've brought these two guys in doesn't mean the Terps are done at the quarterback position because there's still some roots out there with another guy.
Yeah, Jaden Soray, 6 foot, 205. We've been rumored to be in contact with him, too.
He's more of a dual threat.
Yeah, he's classified as the dual threat. He's a number 10 dual threat, and he's a top 500 player in the nation. Number 12 player here in Maryland. That's the big reason you want to get him is to get that heavy hitter at home that can keep other kids home with him that people respect in the area. So we definitely want to bring him in for that. It seems to be down to us and WVU. He did retweet the AJ Swan commitment, which I thought was kind of funny and interesting. Said congrats. I'm not sure if that was a concession, like whoever committed first was going to go there,
right,
or if that's future teammates congratulating each other and they're going to go see who can win this thing out.
Right.
So I'm not sure which one it is. I'm hearing that we are in the lead for him as well, and we're going to get two high school quarterbacks.
That would be huge.
That's just crystal ball type stuff. That's just rumor mill type stuff. That would be a big way to restock this quarterback room.
Exactly. And again, like you said, that would be two quarterbacks, local ties, Saray and Howard. Howard's out of McDonough. That's another local school, right? Even if he doesn't stay at the quarterback position,
and
it's still big for this program.
And that's both a choice for him. And so his high school coach was one of the ones that made the comment that his body was better for defensive end, tight end. So it's not like we're telling this kid, come play quarterback, and then we like surprise him.
Right.
This is for...
He knows that.
Yeah, we talked, your best bet to make the league...
Right.
Is to not play quarterback. It's to play something your body's built for.
Right.
So that, we're going to try that out.
So the plan, the wheels are still moving. Things are going good for Loxie and crew in this football squad as the 2022 class starts to round into shape. Let's flip over to the basketball squad, right?
Everybody likes Terps basketball is something again. Yeah. Where were you guys?
Everybody's back on the bandwagon.
But wait a second. Let me get on the media bandwagon, too. I don't know if any of you guys heard this. But the other day, I was listening to the same people that were saying that we didn't get off the bench, were asleep versus Ohio State, this, that, and the other. Well, these winning streak has reframed their thought process that – oh, well, the Terps, you know, only lost in February was against Ohio State, and they hung with them tight for three quarters of the game. They were within 10 points. What? You guys were trashing that game.
Right.
How all of a sudden we win a couple and you reframe it? Just please look clear eyes with this. I don't get it.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you we're going to win a national championship on the football side, no matter how big a fan I am.
Right.
But this, it's just crazy that you can renegotiate with yourself 3 weeks later just because they won other teams.
Right. Go ahead, Drew.
Ohio State has lost three in a row. Wink, 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 wink.
Yeah.
Well, with this team, right, they had a pretty easy schedule the last five, six games of the schedule, right? But we looked at this particular game, Michigan State, as going to be like the real test of these last games. They've been playing really good basketball, but
they were one of the teams that beat Ohio State.
This is one of the teams that beat Ohio State. This is a Tom Izzo coach team, right? This is usually when Michigan State starts to play their best basketball, right? When they've had a full season to work together, Tom Izzo gets these guys into shape. This is going to be the test. Well, the Terps passed the test.
That team was on fire in this game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just look at some of the things that came out with this. They were shooting 48% from the field, 21 for 43. They shot 50% from beyond the arc, 8 for 16, and a 95% from the line, 23 for 24.
Yeah. The line is what I think is the most impressive thing. We've said since day one, this team lives and dies by the three-point shot. Right? That's just how they're built because they have no size down low. Surprisingly enough, Galen Smith has been playing better basketball. Jarius Hamilton has been playing better basketball, albeit the outside where I'd like to see him get a little bit more involved in the post. But again, you beat Michigan State by 18 points this late in the season when really not a lot of experts out there had high expectations for the Terps this year. Like we talked about, this was supposed to be a bridge in the next year. The Terps starting to heat up at the right time going into the tournament. I think a lot of people have the Terps 100% locked into the tournament, even as high I've seen as the number 8 or 9 seed in the recent bracketology that's been out there.
Right.
Terps are playing good basketball, Ryan.
Yeah, Terps are playing really good basketball. I've been really impressed. You know, even though Eric Ayala started with the worst three-point shot that we've ever seen in the history of time.
That, it couldn't have been a worse camera angle for him, too, because it was so clear. The camera was dead behind Ayala, and, I mean, he missed the rim by at least 3 feet.
3 feet at left least. And 5 feet short.
Yeah, he missed the thing.
So worst I've ever seen. Me and Fred were watching this game together, and when I was sitting here, and they were hitting threes. You know, Marcel had hit a three. You had Hart hit threes. You had everybody. And we're like, you know, I think Eric's the only one that hasn't hit a three. And I go, there it is. And he releases it. And it looked more like a bounce pass than a three-pointer. He recovered and was the leading scorer in the game.
I don't think Ray Charles would have missed the rim that bad. It was terrible.
Oh man.
He just had to get it out of his system.
He did. But you know what?
I was shocked. He went right back into it.
What was funny is when he missed that shot, I was worried that was going to play into him and that was going to be it, but he didn't. He shook it off.
That's the difference is, I think, and obviously this was being a home, it was a home game for them, right? So it would have been a little bit different.
It's an empty stadium game.
Right. I like you, Steven. Fear the turtle. Fear the turtle.
Exactly. But, you know, the one thing that I thought in this game, and it's the standout that it was the highlight that kind of made the game on ESPN and everything, I needed to get your guys' take on what you thought of Wiggins' 360 dunk.
I think that with
that was the exclamation point on the game is what it was.
With fans in Xfinity, that would have gone down as one of the best highlight reel things ever, and now it's just like a side note in history, and that's nobody will talk about it ever again after today.
Right. I didn't think they won. I would have thought they would have won by more than 18 if they were fans.
That's that
there.
Like Bruno slapped the floor moment. That's that Vasquez chewing out the student section moment. That would have been his forever Terp highlight because it would have exploded in Xfinity Center. And instead, it was six dudes on the bench going, oh!
Hey!
it's just, that was one of those moments that it was just so sad to not have some people in there, because that place would have been electric.
You know, baseball, for whatever reason, didn't have the impact on me, like, without the fans being there. Maybe because we're used to it without Oriole fans being there. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
But basketball, specifically college basketball, without the fans there, seems so pathetic. Well, it's so bad.
With the free throws and everything, too, you don't have the chanting.
Yeah, you don't have all the crazy shit going in the background. None of that stuff.
The giant heads just waving around. Yeah,
this is completely random, but did any of you guys catch the Oklahoma State game last night?
No,
I didn't.
Oh, my God. So I think this is the opposite. I think they put people in the stands is what it is, and they were trying to give you a camera angle that you couldn't tell that there was a bunch of people in the stands. This camera was, like, literally on top of them, and it's just like pacing back and forth. Like, it was so bad.
I've seen that camera angle before, and they actually did that. I don't know if it was the NIT tournament last year or the year before last or what, but it's almost like a video game camera angle.
Like a POV type of situation. Like, point of view.
You know when you're playing like a video game basketball game and it goes and you watch the replay and it's from these weird like sideline camera angles? That's what
terrible.
It was. It's awful.
I don't know why they're doing it. I think it's just so that we don't know that there's like 80,000 unmasked individuals in Oklahoma right now. But that was I just thought I would bring that up.
Well, like I talked about, you know, the latest bracketology that's come out, I saw one today, had the Terps at a number 8 seed. In region 3, right, would put them in a matchup first round against 9th seed Oregon, which I'd be okay with that. I think the Terps can hang in that game. I think the Terps have a shot at winning that. Where I think the Terps then come to their demise is in round 2, because that would put them in the winner of number 1 seed Baylor versus number 16 seed James Madison. We all know who's going to win that game.
Yeah.
We don't stand a chance, in my opinion, against
Although,
Baylor.
Here's what I'm going
to
say.
I don't want to run into a 1 that early. The 8-9 is probably the worst place we can end up.
I agree, but here's what I'm going to say. We all saw what happened 2 years ago to a number 1 seed.
At UMBC.
That'd be great if another local school knocked off another number 1 team, and then we got to steamroll James Madison. That'd be great, but I just don't know.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but with the tournament, that's one thing I've learned over the years. The tournament is... It's literally starts to become a toss-up. I know that there's the rankings, right?
Right.
But we've seen out of the past 5 years, I want to say, there's been several years where there's been some major upsets early.
Yeah.
Not necessarily always number ones, but even some number twos, number threes getting upset early.
Shout out to our UMBC fans out there. You know who you are. That was a great game.
One thing I did want to ask you guys about, not just in this game, but the season as a whole, you know, Daryl Morsell.
Mm-hmm.
This kid continues to show the defensive prowess that he is.
Yeah, and the Terps marketing team continues to show how good they are, because they have run with this whole defensive player of the year thing. And I love it.
He has a legitimate shot? That was my question to you
guys. 100%. Like, not only, you know, defensive player of the year in the Big Ten, defensive player of the year nationally. Like, this guy is the epitome of everything that you want in a defensive player. The effort, just his basketball IQ. Like, he's just always in the right place defensively. And he makes other players around him better.
They're going to do a highlight reel just of him putting his shoulder back into place.
Yes.
Just to show toughness. Just be like, look how many times this man can do this. It's great. I don't think he should at least get the Big Ten, like you said. The national one, I don't know enough, because there's been no crossover games with the Big Ten.
I know.
So it's really hard. Like, I've watched a couple games. Like I said, the Oklahoma State, I watched like half that last night. But there's just no interest in it for me, because there aren't the crossovers even in the beginning of the year where I'm like, oh, I remember watching Maryland play Kentucky, and so let's watch that. There's been nothing.
Right.
So, well, that was a really bad example, because Maryland's never played Kentucky in the out-of-conference. We dodge those things.
So the other thing I kind of wanted to hit on, obviously we got the last two games. We got a game on Wednesday night against at Northwestern, so tomorrow, and that's at 9 p.m., and then we end at home. And the regular season, Sunday night, prime time, 7 p.m. versus Penn State. Ryan, what do you have for us? What do you think this game, especially the game against Northwestern, looks like for the Terps?
I mean, Northwestern, we 100% are a more talented team than them. We have the players to beat them.
7-14 on the year, I think so.
Yeah, this team, and was it 4-13 in conference?
Yeah, they're terrible.
So they're not good. Last year they surprised us. Ryan Young, I think it is. Yeah, Ryan Young, 6'10", 245, jobber is their center. It's the only team all year we'll have a better center playing in the game. But last year, he done dropped 17 points and 8 rebounds on us, which is double his ever average.
Right.
So hopefully that stuff doesn't come up again. We still ended up winning the game, but it was way tighter than it needed to be. So hopefully nothing crazy happens like that. It feels like a trap game. Like, we've won these 5 games. We know we can't lose again to Penn State because that just sits so nasty. That's the worst loss of the year for us. So everyone's thinking about that. So Northwestern feels like a trap game, but there's no reason. I think it's one of those ones we're going to pull out late.
Focus one game at a time.
Yeah.
So I feel like these two games is where they need to start getting into their tournament rotations. Like, what's your rotation going to be heading into the Big Ten tournament, heading into the NCAA tournament?
He's pretty much just done it. We're down to 7 players.
I know, but what I'm saying is you need to continue that. You can't take a step back and just be like, oh, these are cupcake games that we should win. Let's get guys minutes out there. Let's save minutes. No, you need to keep these guys sharp. You need to keep these guys tough. Keep them playing hot basketball right now because you don't want to hit that lull and show up in the first round of the Big Ten tournament and be embarrassed.
I think you also need to make sure that your bench players are getting some of that playing time too, and what that rotation is going to look like for those guys, because if you don't, you get some of these guys that wind up getting cold or they come in the big moments and they can't perform. Right, so you got to know what these guys can do, and if somebody goes down, God forbid, I know that's always my thing, right? If somebody goes down, somebody else, it has to be next man up, and I don't know that right now. I can confidently say, I know who the next man up is in each spot.
I think it's too late. I think we've already decided there is no next man. Yeah. Like, we tried it, we were rolling 8-9 players deep, and it wasn't working. And we went to this 7-man rotation. And if somebody goes down, then there's going to be just more minutes for the 6 people left.
And live and die. You're going to live and die by the 3, and you're going to live and die by staying out of foul trouble. If you can stay out of foul trouble and you can shoot the 3, you're going to be in every single game that you are, because this team is so good defensively. Like, they're holding teams under 60 points at an alarming rate. Nobody else is doing it. They're one of the best
games all year. They've let up more than 65 points.
One of the best defensive basketball teams in college basketball right now.
These games really matter because, like we said, that 8-9 line's terrible. You need to get up to a 5-6, or you need to get down to 11-14. You don't want to go in there as 8-9 round. It's not good for Turge's future. I can tell you that. Give yourself a shot at winning 2 games before you get knocked off by a number 1.
Right.
So I think that we've seen. He's willing to extend these players, these top 7. I mean, Ayala played 39 minutes this last game. It's reminiscent of when Herter and Cowan were playing 40 minutes every game. That was all we had, so that's who's playing. We've done it in the past, and it seems like at least Eric's up to the challenge.
So where are we at now, and where do you see us going?
So the only you're sitting 7th in the Big Ten right now. You can only be 6th or 8th. You can catch up, you can beat it, take over Wisconsin, or you can fall behind Rutgers. Those are the only ones that can mathematically move.
Right.
So we're going to be a 6-8. That 6 or 7 is a much better location than 8. And you see who's kind of locked in the lower seeds that you're going to be playing. So as long as we don't fall past where we're sitting right now, I think the Big Ten tournament could be nice for us. We could have 2 wins there and just be, you've already met my expectations of the postseason.
We got 2 games left, Northwestern at Penn State, before next week's show. What do the Terps do? Do they win both those games? They stay hot?
I think they win both. I think that Northwestern scares the living hell out of us, and we have to go on some, fourth quarter. I know there's no fourth quarter, but fourth quarter type run.
Right.
To
2-minute warning.
Yeah. All of a sudden, your players show that they are the better player on the court, and we go on a 10-2 run and take the win.
And squeak it out.
And I think Penn State, we need to go embarrass them.
Yeah.
And I think
mud stomp them.
It's going to be rough, though. It's going to almost be up to the refs. The thing that scares me most with that Penn State Maryland game is it's going to look like a football game out there. And that's your game.
Physical.
That's your game before the Big Ten tournament. What's Morcell's shoulder going to look like after that game?
Yeah.
We're going to see highlight tapes of some Penn Stater yanking on that left arm.
I don't even want to think about it.
Well, that's it, guys, for this week's Birdland BS. That's the March 2nd version of Birdland BS. Like I said, you guys probably know how this Northwestern game is going to go. Recording here, it's about 2 hours out. So I'll be watching it with you guys and finding out if I'm right or wrong. A little bit earlier than you guys are listening to me be right or wrong. Can't wait for that. Next, we do have our interview with our five-star punter commit through Shell and Tell. I'm really excited about that. We worked really hard at this interview. We had some terrible internet issues. This was probably the fifth day we tried to record together. Two of them we actually did record. Both had horrendous internet issues. I know you guys that are avid listeners know that audio quality is like the number one thing for us. We're trying to make sure that you aren't hitting that volume button up and down all the time, trying to make sure there's not dogs barking in the back room and round and kids screaming in the background and all the things that bother me about some of the podcasts out there. But we just, there was nothing we could do about this one, man. There was, I probably spent 4 hours a day editing this down to 20 minutes of pretty good interview quality. There is a terrible echo on his end. All our audio sounds pretty great. It's unfortunate, but it's one of those things I know you diehards wanted to hear. You know, I could have just scrapped this, canned this, and been like, you know, we don't need to put it out there. It's not great quality. But anybody that's listening this far into Shell and Tell, you're a true diehard Terp fan. And some of this was really interesting. Some of this was really insightful. And I wanted to give you guys a chance to listen to it, even if it's a little annoying on the echo. So I'm sorry if one or two of you got to take some Motrin at the end. I'm probably playing it up and probably just beating myself up that the audio is worse than it really is. Kind of just sounds like he's standing in Xfinity Center giving this interview. So I hope you really enjoy. And here we go. We are now joined by a very special guest, Brendan Segovia. Brendan is a 2021 Adidas All-American Bowl selection, one of the top punters in our nation, and currently holds an offer from the University of Maryland. I reached out because Brendan was in town this weekend. Yeah. He was on his unofficial visit, right, whatever these guys are allowed to do during the pandemic, where we have to pretend we can't see coaches and we can't do anything, but we still go to college campuses by ourselves.
Right.
So I want to know more about that process. So I reached out and he was nice enough to join us.
Appreciate you taking the time, man. Thanks for stopping by.
I was talking to Ryan earlier. I'm just grateful that he's kind of been supporting me on Twitter.
Just liking everything, reading, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate knowing that the people care about that the Twitter presence of the fans can actually assist in like the you know what a program looks like, because we have plenty of fans out there that make programs look bad. It's good to know that you can do some things to make programs look good as well.
I want to carry myself well off the field and just be progressive always.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. Let's get the fans to know a little bit about you, man. Tell us a little bit about your background growing up. Like, what got you into playing football? What ultimately got you into punting? And that's kind of unique. So what's kind of been your path?
My brother, I've always looked up to him. He was a great athlete, soccer, and he received a scholarship at Berkeley.
Okay.
Unfortunately, when he got there, they found a heart on him, and he had to retire soccer. And they installed a defibrillator in his heart. And he has a pretty unique body himself. But I started playing football. Because my mom kind of encouraged me to. I was relatively immature to be the kicker and a soft personality. But I did it anyway. I looked at an opportunity to start high school and start meeting people and just building a network.
Right.
And then leads to another, I start getting camps and I start building a name, I start putting in time and money into becoming a better player. And the amount of progress I made my freshman sophomore year was significant. And I decided that I was going to journey to potentially collegiate kicker and punter.
Right.
And I've put in work and I slept as an All-American.
Yeah.
And I just can't really complain. But the reason I bring up my brother and you know, also just the rest of my family is. We've grown up in this very, very solid structure. You know, there's been times that have been very, very tough. And times where we've been doing very, very well. But what I want to do with my future is, first and foremost, I want to give my family some stuff that we haven't been able to have. And second off, I want to use this opportunity I have to platform myself and just put grace into the world. And just show how if you believe in Christ, you dedicate your life to Christ, He'll take care of you.
That's awesome, man.
Very good, man. I mean, bring that up. You play for Oaks Christian School in Westlake Village, California. As we see the California sign before you, but you were nice enough to rep the Ravens jersey there.
Yeah, love it. Good touch.
Birdland BS appreciates it.
Right.
So tell us about this Chris Sale kicking camp. I saw you were selected as award there. We don't know much about the kicker camp.
Right.
Yeah, so basically it's a pretty simple system. These guys have a lot of initiative over the years, they've built a brand for themselves. And they get the best kickers in the world consistently. The way I was selected was at a camp in Vegas where all the best specialists in the country, but we all went head to head, and myself and Michigan commit, Tommy Diamond.
Yeah,
we were both selected as Army All-American, or Adidas All-American now, and I mean just recruitment. And just like season, more for him, because I'm going to be mine in about a week. You know, it's just proven that we're here for a reason.
Right.
We work hard, and we're both going to end up power five football, and the future holds whatever it holds.
That's awesome, man. You talk about the spring season starting. I mean, obviously the pandemic's affected everything from recruiting, from your season. What has that been? How difficult has it been to keep up the training with everything going on? I know California's had some pretty strict restrictions. Maryland's right there with you guys, really, on most of that stuff. But how's that really affected your final year of training?
Obviously, there's obstacles, but there's obstacles for everyone else.
Right.
I try to take the pro, everything, and what I can really take out of this experience is that I built a great relationship with my father, and more recently than ever, I've honestly been putting a heck of a lot. He's just, I just see this expressive face that he's kind of like. Blessed, just proud to be my father, and that's honestly at the end of the day what I want to be responsible for. You know, I just want to be someone that my father can appreciate, and just be the best I can every day.
Right, that's awesome, man. I mean, we all strive to make our parents and our fathers proud for sure. That's great that you're doing that, and you're on the right path with everything. So, with this entire recruiting process, we obviously knew that you originally had made a commitment to UCLA, but things have changed a little bit recently. What happened with UCLA? Kind of how that whole thing, you know, unfolded.
So I believe it was about November 15th, November 13th, I had a fair bit of UCLA on my family was super excited, I'd be staying home, and I was just going to go on LA vacation. But unfortunately, this last semester academically, I just didn't perform at the highest of my abilities. I finished 3.0 cumulative GPA, and that didn't get me into UCLA. So I decided to renew my recruitment, and here we are now.
Okay.
Right.
You received the offer from Maryland in February, and this, like we said, this weekend you landed in Baltimore and asked for dinner. Dinner suggestions on Twitter, which started this whole interaction.
Right.
Where'd you eat dinner?
I went to a place called, the first night I landed, I went to like steak and shake.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a cheap food.
It's not a Maryland thing, but it's decent good food. Yeah.
It was rather decent.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, like you said, you're an All-American punter, right? You're back out there looking for the potential next, you know, stop for you.
You got options, MSU, yeah. USC, Maryland, among others.
You don't come across a top five punter in the country that often, right? So I'm sure you got a lot of other colleges out there, you know, calling your number, trying to put their best foot forward. Maryland, obviously, you visited us here recently. How did that visit go for you? What was your experience like here at the university?
I don't really like expectations, but I kind of did. I had imagined exactly what it was, just a lot of space, I'd obviously done some research, and beautiful facilities, great stadium, brand new turf stadium. And there was some construction around all the facilities, and I think actually about three months from now, it'll be opened up. But overall, I was pleased with how everything looks academically, all the buildings, all the facilities, and then obviously, in regards to the facilities, can't complain, they've done very much to give these athletes the opportunity to drive, $200 million, that's crazy.
Yeah, we can't wait for that to open up, which, like you said, is about 3 months. That's supposed to open up. They also apparently have brand new video boards that they had bought and were supposed to be installed Sitting for in last a warehouse. Season. And when they decide not to let me come watch games, they decide to let it stay dry in a warehouse for an extra year, which I can't blame them. As long as they're not lying to me and they go up this year, I'll be okay with it. Because we've been looking forward to new sound system and new screens in that stadium to make that even a better place to be on Saturdays. It's a lot of fun for us. So the pandemic has obviously moved your season to the spring bowl. How are they doing out there? Are you guys getting a full season in? How many games are you playing? What's that going to look like?
Yeah, it's actually been an interesting process. Gavin Newsom, our governor, he actually gave us clearance a week ago. So myself with my team, this is our second day with shoulder pads. And I mean, it's obviously a weird transition. Yeah, it's pretty quick. And we're going to be playing football next week. Yeah, so they've allowed us to play six games. And like I was saying earlier, disconnected. It's just been really fast. You know, we joined our shoulder pads yesterday. And there's obviously some technical adjustments to make, and I'm actually quite curious to see what the quality of football will look like.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting test for everybody. You got any other players on your team you're excited about that are trying to get their next opportunity? Anybody you want to shout out?
We have some recruits and some commits. Great athlete. Ethan Calvert. He's committed to Utah. Kalen Moore, Colorado. Carson Swartz, he's with UCLA now. And there's actually a guy I'm trying to get in Maryland, Derek Boyd. He's an all-purpose back, ranked fifth in country, 24/7.
Wait a second. You're going to try to get this guy into Maryland. Are you trying to hint that you're headed to Maryland, or what's going on here?
Yeah, or you just want to send him by himself.
Are you sending him by himself as a thank you?
It's just a thank you.
I like it. I got it. So, I mean, seriously, though, on a serious level, so what are you looking for most in a college? Like, what is it going to take for a college like Maryland to land a punter like you?
I think there's three elements of criteria. Obviously college life. You know, that's about campus, small things.
Right.
And then there's the academic value. You know, my major. I'm interested in both business and intelligence.
And we got a better spot for the intelligence spot, man.
Yeah, obviously, I want to be in DC one day.
Yep. There you go.
But the third thing is obviously quite practical because I'm a football player. I know that Coach Locksley has a tight relationship with the research done. Obviously, we have a strong coaching staff. Locksley, very well known, was at Alabama, was very successful. And then look at a guy like Ron Zook. Lots of NFL experience. Obviously, that says a lot about how much input you can give at practice. But I think that's a very helpful resource after school. If anyone's performing well, NFL level, there's a connection.
And on top of that, they've spent lots of funds making sure that these athletes have the resource to succeed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're trying to step in the right direction, man. We got in the Big Ten a couple years ago. And I know we talked earlier, you were impressed with about the difference in all the Big Ten schools versus the Pac-12 that you were used to seeing. Is that what you were talking about earlier?
I remember, and this is no shot at UCLA, but when I took a look at the schedule, it was kind of like, all right, there's USC, there's USC, there's USC, Colorado, Oregon, and that's great. But I just feel like when you look at the rankings, you see Ohio State, you see Penn State, you're going to see Michigan. No, this is a high level football, and there's a lot of dedication out there in football.
Right. Yep. If you want the toughest schedule in the country, I think you're going to the right school because every year we're ranked in the top 10 toughest schedules.
For sure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties, so we lost the video feed. But Brendan, I was talking about having the added perk here in the state of Maryland, obviously having the professional team with the Ravens up the street. You got a pretty darn good punter in Sam Cook up the road who has been down here at the university and worked with kickers here in the past. Is that enticing to you? How exciting is that to be able to work with somebody of that caliber?
I think that's awesome, honestly. I've done a lot of research on Sam Cook myself. I know he has a very diverse arsenal, and if I do get the chance to work with him in the near future, that is an opportunity to expand mine.
Exactly.
Maryland's had some success with kickers in the recent history, just in the time that I've been there as a season ticket holder. Adam Podlish playing in the NFL as a punter. Nick Novak playing in the NFL as a place kicker. Brad Craddock got a shot with the Browns, and he both punted and kicked for us.
Yeah.
So I mean, hopefully you are next in the long line of success there. Where do you see your future?
Obviously, the NFL would be absolutely awesome. I feel like that's a great foundation in terms of finance. I'm sure a punter could do quite well for himself, three, four, maybe five years in the league. Anything past that, that's great. But the way I see myself building a future for myself, I want to get involved with finance, like I said, the NFL would be a great foundation financially, but that doesn't happen. That's the path that was paved in, and I'm just going to do what I can every day.
Yeah, take advantage of what football has got you for right now.
You're getting into this top school
and doing what you want, talking about being in D.C., being a good thing for your future. Our last guest, Ellis McKinney, was a lineman for the Terps, and he got took his 4 years and now he's in grad school law at Georgetown.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about what you do with the opportunities that football provided you, whether that be at the league or whether that be in your future, in your career.
Sorry to interrupt you, but you made a great point about making the most out of the school experience, and that's kind of why I'm accepting a preferred walk-on because obviously that can be a little bit of a financial down the road, but the experience going to a power five school, recognized school, that's invaluable. And I'm just, if I need to go for one, two years, that would be it, you know.
Right.
I think a lot of people are in this.
What else we got?
Well, obviously, what everybody wants to know is when you plan on making your decision, when you plan on making your commitment. Obviously, like we've talked about numerous times, you've got a couple other visits lined up. You just recently here. When are you looking to make this announcement? When are you looking to make your decision? And why isn't it Maryland?
So we're recording this March.
I'm going to be committing tomorrow, 10 a.m.
And I just look forward to building a future for myself.
That's awesome, man.
All right. Well,
we can't do it. Anything but wish you the best, man. We hope it's here. We hope we're in Section 7 rooting you on. Appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us. I'm sorry for all the technical difficulties, but glad we were able to do this, man. And we looked forward to hopefully talking to you again soon.
Quick question for you guys.
Sure.
Is that always there?
That's always there on the Birdland BS set. That's just funny. I didn't even think about that. That's hilarious. But no, it's always there. It's part of the set.
Well, guys, I'm a little bit sorry about the technical.
It's okay. I think we just had another one.
We'll get this edited up, man. We'll get it cleaned up.
I'm being told I have to ask you one more question, then I have to find somewhere to edit it in, which I'm going to be doing plenty of editing on this, so we might as well do it. So we see your number is 23. We want to know the backstory on this. Is this the normal Jordan? Is this you're from California, so it's the David Beckham number since you were a soccer player? What's going on? Nothing. Totally dead. There we go. You're there.
In football, at least in high school football, kickers aren't choosers. So it's actually just randomly. But actually, this is the last season I'm going to be playing in the spring. I'm going to be repping number 86.
Nice.
Number 86.
Okay. And now, was that a choice or that was an assignment?
I put on a few pounds since last season, so I need a new size.
Move it up. We understand.
Yeah.
We get that.
I have a few number 86 jerseys in my man cave I can't fit in.
Oh, man. All right, man. Well, again, we appreciate the time. Appreciate you doing this with us, and good luck with your future. Hopefully it's here at Maryland.
Guys, I hope we can do this again in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, man. Keep in touch. No problem.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a good night, guys.
All right, you too.
Bye. Well, guys, you made it. That's it. That was the interview. I would say that's it. That's all I'm going to give you here on this podcast. For you diehards that just want a little bit more, like I hinted at, we recorded twice this week. I posted on our YouTube channel, Shell and Tell on YouTube.com, the three-minute clip where we first spoke with Brendan. And he accidentally let it slip that he was committing to the Terps. That's kind of how he stumbled into this whole thing. He just agreed to be on the show. And at first, it was just kind of casual. So, well, now that I look back, something I should have picked up that made it confirm that he was going to be a Terp. And then he just straight up said he was going to be a Terp. And I was like, oh, so we're committing right here on this interview. And he was like, oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. So if that's a really fun little snippet, please take a look on our YouTube channel. I post that little three-minute video right there. It's kind of fun. Obviously, we kept it secret for the kid. He's fully aware we're using all of this. I've confirmed every time I've talked with him what he's okay and not okay with us doing. So keeping it all on the up and up. But I thought that was kind of cool. It was just fun to see the kid's excitement. That's why he let it slip, is because he was just so excited to have this opportunity. And you can really see it really comes through on the video. So please check out our YouTube channel. As always, likes, share, subscribe everywhere that you see this. It really helps out get the word out. We're having cooler and cooler opportunities to bring you guys interesting interviews and insights, and you know, go on these travel trips and stuff. And it's all because of the increased exposure that we can offer. So we get bigger and bigger opportunities, which in turn gives us more and more exposure. So it's really working out. It's a lot of fun. This is just a hobby for us. Obviously, you have not heard a single ad on here. We're not making any money here. all the money we do make on Birdland BS just goes right back into the show with those advertisers. So just anything you can do to help us out, anything you can do to help the program out. I know all of you out there want to see both a winning football and basketball, women's basketball, lacrosse, soccer, all the things we got going on at the Terps that are great winning programs. We want to keep that going and do what we can. Until next time, guys, here's to wishing all is well under the shell.